This Thanksgiving Day morning, I direct your attention to the Word of God, first of all in 2 Samuel chapter 16, where we read verses 1 through 4, and then a portion in 2 Samuel 19. In 2 Samuel 16, David is fleeing from Absalom, his son, who seeks to kill him. As he flees, different people join him. And in the beginning of chapter 16, Ziba comes to him. Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, the lame son of Jonathan, had lived now in David's own house. And Ziba had been made by David to care for his things. 2 Samuel 16, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, "What meanest thou by these?" And Ziba said, "The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine, and such as be faint in the wilderness may drink." And the king said, "And where is thy master's son, that is Mephibosheth?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father.'" Then said the king to Ziba, "Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth." And Ziba said, "I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king." Now if you turn with me to 2 Samuel 19. And now the battle with Absalom is over, and David is returning to Jerusalem. There was a big question about his returning, if he was going to be taken back, especially by Judah, who had been disloyal. But we see in that chapter that their hearts, by David's words, have been bowed, and they are now welcoming the king back. At verse 16, you'll notice that he's met by this man called Shimei, who had cursed him. And in the chapter, there's other men who meet him as he's coming across the river. In verse 24, we read of Mephibosheth. We read from verse 24, 2 Samuel 19, 24 through 30. 2 Samuel 19, 24, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, 'Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, and that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame, and he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant upon among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?' And the king said unto him, 'Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba, divide the land.' And Mephibosheth said to the king, 'Yea, let him, Ziba, take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house.' And that last verse will be our passage this morning. Before turning to that verse, I would put before you a question, three questions on the source of your thanksgiving in this day. That is the well from which the water of praise and thanks comes to your mouth. Is the source of our thanksgiving where it's coming from salvation? That you have peace with your King through the forgiveness of sins, evident in a daily life of repentance. That our thanksgiving is not simply that we have it very good, which we do, and that we have it much better than most others, which we do. But is it from salvation? Secondly, is the source of our salvation, of our thankfulness rather, that the King Jesus sits upon his throne over his own house in this world today of darkness and chaos and unbelief, in this world of yours today with cancer and sorrow and the struggle of your soul that you believe is going to break your soul, in this world is your source of thanksgiving that the King has come and sits upon his throne? And finally, is the source of your thanksgiving and our thanksgiving this morning that the King is coming? That Jesus is coming? And that our life is not here, but our life is there above? And that our hope today too in all of our thanksgiving is that Jesus is coming again? In our text, David, King David, is coming back to Jerusalem after the rebellion and the death of his son Absalom. There had been a bloody battle between Israel and the followers of Absalom and David and those who had remained loyal to the house of David. It had gone on for months, and Absalom was at last killed. The question, as I mentioned a moment ago, was now what? Israel has been, to the large part, disloyal to David. Are they to welcome him back to the throne? And the men of Israel, in chapter 19, break the ice, that is, the men of the 11 tribes, break the ice, and they say to each other, it was the king, David, who saved us out of the hand of the Philistines. We must welcome him back, for David had gone to the other side of the Jordan. The men of Judah were unsure. They were shamefaced that they too had joined the side of Absalom. And David, in the chapter, wins their hearts over with his graciousness, with his assurance of his forgiveness of them. He speaks such words to them that their hearts are bowed and they welcome the king back. As the king returns over the Jordan on a ferry, he is welcomed, as I said, by various individuals. The man that meets him just before Mephibosheth was Shimei from the house of Saul, who, when David fled Jerusalem, Shimei had stood at a ridge over him as he fled, and he had taken rocks and thrown them at David and cursed him. Shimei knows he's in trouble. So he goes to suck up to David, to play up to David. Don't take what I did to your heart. I'm very sorry. Abishai, David's mighty man, wants him killed on the spot. But David said, no, there will be no more bloodshed. And he pardoned him. And now Mephibosheth. Over Mephibosheth's head, there is a dark cloud of suspicion because of the words of his servant Ziba. Mephibosheth was the man to whom David had shown such kindness. He didn't come with him in his exile. Who is David to believe? Has Mephibosheth come to play up to him too? Let's consider then this text, verse 30, under the theme, thankful that the king has come in peace. There is a test of love here. As David sees the lame and the disheveled Mephibosheth approaching him, his mind is in doubt, and his heart is hurt. And so he asks him, verse 25, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, the lame son of Jonathan, David's friend, and the grandson of Saul, who had been graciously taken to sit at the table of David and made a member of his family, the family of David, all of those who loved him, his friends, had gone with him in his exile from Jerusalem when Absalom chased them. He had left a few behind for strategic purposes, but the family, the lovers of David, had departed with him. Mephibosheth had not gone. And as we read, Ziba, his servant, had placed these words in David's memory that Mephibosheth remained in Jerusalem because he believed that the opportunity had come for the house of Saul and for himself to be restored to the throne. And so David, as he comes, seeing him come, says, why didn't you come with me? Mephibosheth replies, Ziba deceived me, and then he slandered me before you, my lord the king. It was I who told him to prepare those asses, those donkeys, one for me to ride. And I asked him to prepare those provisions. And he got it all together, and he saddled the ass, and he hopped on himself, and he left me behind. And then Mephibosheth does something that David noticed that gave David pause. Really, it was something Mephibosheth did not do at that point. As we read it at that point, we might have expected Mephibosheth to scoot. He couldn't walk. Somehow scoot across the ground and grab David's robe and plead with him that not only is Ziba a liar, but plead with him, please restore to me what was mine. You gave it all to Ziba. This is on everybody's mind. It's on Ziba's mind too. But Ziba doesn't plead that. He simply says to David with respect to those things that he had given to Ziba, the things that he needed to live on, he simply said, my Lord is the angel of God. Do therefore what is right in your eyes. I'm not going to cry to you. I'm not going to claim anything from you. I have no claim. You're under no obligations to me. You may do with that stuff as you wish. And now David stands before the question, who am I to believe? And I've often struggled with this passage in my ministry, and I have not understood it. And it seemed to me that this is one place where David leaves the question hanging and doesn't come to a decision clearly on one side or the other. He doesn't resolve the issue. Verse 29, and the king said to Mephibosheth, why speakest thou to me any more about these matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the line, the land. Is the scripture leaving the question unclear? Who's telling the truth? David is a king. He can't leave this unsettled. And what does David mean when he says to Mephibosheth, I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land? He did not say that. He said in chapter 16 to Ziba, thine are all that pertain to Mephibosheth. So David, are you saying simply, I'm not sure, so you two take it and divide it, cut it in two, and that's the end of the matter. Don't bring it up again. But I see now that that's not so. David is not indecisive. He's putting Mephibosheth to a test that he had no time to prepare for. He's going to look into the heart of Mephibosheth. Do you remember, boys and girls, another king who had to determine between two women who was the liar over a baby? And to determine the woman who truly loved the child, he said, "Give me a sword, and I'll cut it in half." David does the same thing here. "If Mephibosheth, you are falling over me like Shimei did and faking it, I want to expose that. I want to know exactly what's in your heart. I'll propose something that would push you over the edge if you believe that you had the right to those things. I'm going to determine whether it's me, the king, or what I give you that is most important to your heart." David does decide the issue. Mephibosheth has love only for his king, and that he lives at peace with his king. "And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let Ziba take all." He can have it. "Why? For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace to his house." Ziba can have all of that. "Because, David, what I'm concerned about is you and peace with you. And it's enough for me to know that you are on your throne and you are in your house with your kingdom and people. So the vineyards, yes, those wonderful vineyards that you gave to me, and I could go out there and I could see the spring blooms, and perhaps that porch that I made. I'm a lame man and I had a porch and I could enjoy all of these things and the donkeys and the estates, and I had everything just the way it was. Very nice for me. Let it go. Because it's my relationship to you that matters. That's what I care about." Mephibosheth passed the test. Now, what we must see this morning is that David is the type of the Lord's Christ. That David is the one who's showing us that to Christ we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the forgiveness of our sins. That Christ is the one who has come into his house and sits upon his throne this morning and rules over all things, maintains our position with him. And so the question for us this morning is, does the Lord's test, he puts a test before you, and when he puts a test before you in the morning, he does not put a sign out front your door, red alert, the Lord's going to send a big test. But when he puts you before a test, when apparently you're going to lose, you're going to lose a lot, a whole lot. When he says, "I will take it away," how do you respond? When apparently something you see as yours, "This is mine, my health, my family, my freedom, I can still drive the car and I'm not confined, my earnings are cut in half, my wealth is gone." You say, "My life was going very well and suddenly something was taken from me. My health, my husband, my daughter, my relationship, my reputation. There's now a turmoil that has descended upon me, and it seems that it is poised at my heart to take everything away. when suddenly there comes a struggle with depression, when all of your hopes and plans as a young person for your life or with a particular person that you loved is taken away, when you are put to that test. Do you love the King with whom you have peace? More than anything else, are we thankful this morning that the King, Jesus Christ, sits upon his throne in this confusing world, in your life, and that you are at peace with him through the precious blood of Jesus? How do we respond? We don't respond this morning perfectly. We don't respond this morning consistently in our lives. And so often we do not respond very good. But by grace. Grace in the heart must show itself. And by grace in the heart we say, let him take all. The only thing I want to know is that the King is in peace, is on his throne, in his house. My life is not fun. Plans didn't turn out. Marriage was not all I envisioned. There are many troubles and heartaches. And yes, many days in which I sing, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly far away and seek for the peace that I love, where troubles no more could dismay. And I asked, why does he do this to me? And what did I do to deserve this? And others are lying or misrepresenting me. But Mephibosheth said, my Lord is as an angel of God. Let him do what he thinks is right. And as far as those possessions, he can take them all away then, if that's his decision. But it's enough for me to know he's on his throne and I'm at peace with him. You see, this is the spring then for thanksgiving, true thanksgiving this morning in every aspect of our life. Then we will be content. We will be content when we are at peace with God. Then we have contentment with life. And in contentment, we give thanks to God. That's the way that works. Peace with God through Jesus. Contentment with what the Lord gives, because the Lord gave it. And therefore, thanks for what he gave today. We cannot be thankful from our heart in everything and in every way. We cannot do that unless we are content. And we cannot be content unless we are at peace with the King. Our King, Jesus Christ, has come to us in peace in our lives. Our King, Jesus Christ, is coming in peace in two ways. He's coming in the end of the world in peace. Peace for us, his church. It will be soon now that he will be crossing that Jordan River of time. The King will be returning into the land. He will be coming into his own house. He's coming soon. And we shall be with him in the city of peace, Jerusalem, in the inheritance. That's the way we look at our life now. But more, the King has returned by his Holy Spirit. Our King right now is upon his throne in heaven. He is ruling over all things, over the evil of this world and over my life. And he rules in peace. We see our King today. It is enough that our King is at peace with us and in his own house and on his throne. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then with Paul and with Mephibosheth, and then with you and me at our Thanksgiving tables, we are going to say exactly what Paul said. Philippians chapter 4, as he was in a prison, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know how to abound, and we are abounding. And I know how to be abased. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have peace with the King who has returned and is controlling my life. And I'm thankful." But you understand, beloved, that this contentment, this peace, this thanksgiving are the gifts of His sovereign grace. It is the experience of His sovereign grace to us, as I said Sunday night. The issue in our life is not first the assurance that God is working all things for His plan. The issue in our life is sin and grace. And when we know grace, then we can say all things work together for good. Mephibosheth knows that grace. Verse 28, "For all my father's house," he's saying this to David, "were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet thou didst set thy servant Mephibosheth among them that did eat at thy table. What right have I therefore to cry, to complain unto my king?" What right do I have to complain to you because of what you've done for me? Mephibosheth. He says, "I'm a dead dog." Mephibosheth had two strikes against him. Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul and the son of Jonathan. And the house of Saul was still set against David, the Lord's anointed. He was born, Mephibosheth was born a rival to the king. Remember those words. Born a rival to the king. And the second strike was that he was lame. He couldn't do anything. David sent to Lodabar to bring him to his house. David carried him into his house. Mephibosheth says, "David, it doesn't matter. Let Ziba have it. If there's any doubt in your mind, let him have it. It's enough for me that I'm at peace with you in your house." We complain in our hearts to God of what He does to us when we slip from the consciousness of His grace. We have been exalted to the King's house. In the King's house, He is blessing us this morning. However He's directing your life, and certainly with all these material things, we must give Him thanks. But He's directing your life. He's pardoned you. He's given you kindness. He's given you an inheritance of grace. He's given you a wife. Or He's not given to you a wife. He's given to you children. He's given to you a home as a child. He's given to us a church that loves His word. He's given to us He's been faithful. He has been faithful. But we must remember His grace. We were born in the house of Adam, the first Adam. That means that you and I were born rivals to the King, Jesus Christ. By our depraved nature, we stand in rebellion against His rule and say, "Who is He to rule over me?" We say it all the time in our sinful nature. We were lame. We didn't walk to Jesus. He came and carried us into the house. We could not walk. Do we think that we are somebody? Here we are in his house, brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, one hope, one life. Here we are, homes, food, children, faithfulness, peace. Peace with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What right have I, therefore, to cry any more to my King? Let him have all, for as much as my Lord the King has come in peace to his heart, to his whole house. That's thankfulness. That's thankfulness everywhere, every time, all the time. But you see, then that will also be seen in a life of gratitude. And yet we must see one more thing, that this life of peace with the King, this life of contentment and thanks, is also a life, is also something that is seen in our life, a thankfulness that is seen in our life. And so we must not miss verse 24 of what we read, of Mephibosheth's appearance when he came to David. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to, and this is deliberate, this information obviously is deliberate if it's in the Bible. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, when he's coming to see David, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor thinned his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day King David departed unto the day that he came in peace. From verse 25, we learn that Mephibosheth came from Jerusalem. He was still in Jerusalem. So when David fled and Mephibosheth could not go with him, Mephibosheth did not change his clothes, did not wash, and did not take care of himself, which was a sign. When people did that, when Job did that, when people did that, it was a sign of mourning. It was a sign of grief. It was a sign. He was giving a sign of his loyalty to David. I can't be happy here. I can't go about life as normal here. David's not here. And now think about it. Who is in the palace? Well, it is Absalom. And everybody in Absalom's kingdom knew where Mephibosheth stood. He stood with David. He could not be happy. He could not join the merriment of the usurper, Absalom. And if Absalom, this is what I'm saying, if Absalom had not been so busy trying to take care of things, he probably would have killed him for what he did. The Lord preserved him. But it showed in his life where his allegiance was. It must show in this world where our allegiance is. We may appear stinky to the world and unkept and religious kooks, but it must show where our allegiance lies, where we treasure the most, that we do not treasure this world and its rebellion against our King, but that our heart is set upon Him and that we live for Him. And we cannot be at peace in our souls with this world. We long for the King to come again. We must show that we love Him. We can't thank Him if we're not showing day by day that we love Him. And so this is Thanksgiving. I'm at peace by grace with the King who's on the throne, who's ruling over my life. I'm content. And I want my allegiance not to be known just on this day, Thanksgiving morning, I'm in church. But I want that allegiance to be known every day where my heart is. With such thanksgiving, God is well pleased. And he smells in Georgetown a sweet smelling savor. May he smell that in your home, at your table, in your fellowship today. Amen. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that the King has come in peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Heavenly Father, as we lift up our voice of thanks, let us not recede to the back of the choir, but let us lift up our voices for what he has done for us. For his mercy endureth forever. Amen.